Okay, let's do it.
Welcome to the monthly podcast. This is Referee's World.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Referee's World podcast. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee with the Somerset FA, going for promotion to level 4 this season. My partner is not only my mentor, but a PGMOL assessor and Somerset FA training officer, Rich Mellin. Rich.
Hi, Darren. It's been a long time since we've sat down together. I've been out travelling, and I think we've got some quality material to come up.
So, coming up in the show then, we've got a whole pile of your tweets, and we're getting a really good response from all around the world, Rich.
It's really encouraging, and it's quite exciting, to be honest.
And people coming up with suggestions for the show, topics for us to discuss, which we're looking into quite a few at the moment.
We've had a tweet from someone who is refereeing deaf football and someone who is refereeing blind football players.
Also, just before the start of the new season, Rich caught up with Somerset FA Chief Executive John Pike and Referee Development Officer Keith Buller, basically discussing how a typical County FA would work.
This is Referee's World.
I'm going to give you a brief overview of what a County FA does. We govern all football in the county. All football in England is administered nationally by the Football Association, and then they devolve power regionally down to county associations, of which there are 50 in the country, 47 county associations and the 3 service associations. We would look after all football, so that would range from our football league club, Yeovil Town, down to the smallest mini soccer team at under 7 level and everything in between. We would have all clubs affiliated to us and all referees affiliated to us. So at the last year we had just over 700 clubs affiliated and about 750 referees affiliated, and in those 700 clubs there were approximately 1700 teams, as they range from Yeovil Town first team down to the humblest mini soccer team.
Talking about the 1700 teams, John, in terms of that number of teams that we have, what sort of size county would Somerset be regarded as across the country?
We are almost quintessentially the definition of an average size county. The largest counties in the country will be the Essex, Hampshires, Lancashires of the world, where there are probably 4,000, 3,500 to 4,000 teams. The smaller counties such as Herefordshire, the islands such as Guernsey and Jersey, we might only have 300 or 400 teams, everything in between. So in rankings of teams, I think we always come out around about 22, 23.
Okay, here we are. We're doing the Referees World podcast, and we're talking to John Pike, Chief Executive of Somerset FA, and Keith Buller, who's the Referee Development Officer for Somerset. John, there's a national strategy that is being talked about at the moment. Do you have any thoughts on that you can let people know about?
Yeah, the national game strategy underpins everything we do as a county association. It was first introduced in 2008 by the FA as a 4-year strategy to take us up to 2012. It runs from football season-wise from July until June the following year. So we've just completed year 3. And we actually now have just developed our strategy going forward from 2011 to 2015. It covers all aspects of the game, both governance and discipline. And there's a national strategy as developed by the FA, but then each county FA has to implement their own regional, local part of that strategy to suit the needs of their county. We are tasked with growing the games in all aspects, so number of teams, number of referees, increasing one section on better players. We have a section on running the game. We have a section on facilities. So we have 4 goals and 3 key enablers within it in the original strategy, and we've just redeveloped those again. Our main successes over the last 4 or 3 years of the strategy has been an increase in the number of teams in women's football, in youth football, in mini soccer and disability.
What about disciplinary issues with referees, Keith? What's the biggest nuisance?
Yeah, our main nuisance at the moment is report writing. When you send in a sending off form, obviously you have to put wordings in it, and some of those are very wishy-washy report writing. Frankly, those referees are getting disheartened to find out that the players have been let off their sending offs at disciplinary at hearings, mainly because they've not given enough information on their reports.
So it's basically down to what they've reported, not necessarily what they've done. What they've done was probably absolutely right, yeah. And it did merit being sent off for the player.
Absolutely.
But what they've actually submitted on the report form has just been very poorly written, and consequently the player's been able to appeal and get away with it.
What the referee needs to think about is when they send a report in, it gets put in front at least 3 others that need to read the report. They haven't witnessed the game, they haven't seen the incident, So the writing in there needs, when they read it, they can actually pick out on the field of play where it was, what happened, and what did the referee do.
All right, that's a piece of good advice. Which leads us into the new disciplinary procedures.
Up until last season, effectively, there were two forms of suspension you could incur if you were sent off or disciplined in a match. Down to Step 7, which in Somerset is the Somerset County League, you would receive a suspension in the terms of matches. If you were sent off at what we call grassroots football, or outside the National League system is the technical term, the majority of football is played in this country, you would receive your suspension in days, and that will always be a multiple of 7, 28, 35, 56 days, whatever. And very often when we are County FA, we would get complaints from people saying, I've been sent off for swearing at a referee and I've got 35 days. I saw Wayne Rooney on Match of the Day last night, sent off for the same thing. The commentator said he would get 3 matches. How is that fair? And simply, it's not fair. So the FA have made it fair now by everyone who plays adult football in this country will get their suspension in matches from this season. So the suspension you get if a player is sent off in the local parks league will be exactly the same suspension that Wayne Rooney will get off if he was sent off for the same fence.
That's a nice way to put it across, John. Everybody's going to get treated the same. Keith?
Yeah, can I add on that, Richard? Because of the new system next season, or this coming season, clubs will automatically get fined if they don't send their forms back in, knowing that they had a player sent off. So clubs will be getting on to us very quickly saying, I've not had my form or not had my form. Now, I'm afraid to say, there are some referees out there that send off players during matches but don't send the forms into us. These referees would be picked out very quickly. And I'd just like to point out that because of the rules and regulations for refereeing in the county handbook, they can be brought towards a disciplinary committee for failure to submit reports from matches.
Okay, this is a match official not sending in report forms, and consequently you're saying that if he doesn't send in his report forms, he will be suspended. That's the bottom line.
He will be brought to a hearing.
He will be charged with misconduct the same way a player will be charged, and would have the opportunities to respond to that. Well, you may elect to have a hearing, you may not, but he would be charged under referee regulations for failing to fulfil his duties as a referee, which is to send in all misconduct.
Okay, and can I just confirm, if a referee is doing a friendly match, he's expected to send in disciplinary forms as well, isn't he, John?
A match is a match, be that a friendly, a cup match, a league match, any match in which a referee takes charge and discipline it happens, be it booking, sending off some misconduct, a referee is obliged to send that into the County FA.
Okay, this is the Referees Well podcast. This is Richard Mellin talking to John Pike and Keith Buller. One of the things that has been happening within the National Game Strategy, and I think I'd be right in trying to make the link, is that there's been quite a few national FA surveys.
Every year the FA run a survey, usually for a couple of weeks in approximately February or March. This year it was called the Big Grassroots Survey. It ran for 2 weeks in March. It was posted on all County FA websites, so it was an online return. Superb return, a lot of good data from that, on all aspects, respect, referees, clubs, etc, etc. Interesting enough, perhaps for your listeners, is the biggest single desire from that was 84% of people wanted a qualified referee for every match. That was the top in our survey. The second one was about respect and the importance of that. So I think referees, the lack of them and the treatment of them were two of the biggest things within our county survey.
You just briefly mentioned the respect programme. In the short time that it's been running, what's your particular views?
I think it has had an effect, and that effect has been positive. Anecdotally, I've had a number of referees who've said to me that they have perceived a benefit from it. In no way does it make everything perfect. In my opinion, it's a generational thing. I think we have to get it in place, and those kids coming through now in 10, 15 years when they play adult football will know nothing but a culture of respect in terms of their football careers. That's not to say respect doesn't have effect on adult leagues. It does, and it's been positive. I think the biggest sign we can say is that when we started respect a couple of years ago, as I said, we only had about 425 referees. It coincided with the national game, and also we know that most leagues in this county at grassroots level had at least one division of their league that had no referee every week. Now we still have some divisions in some leagues where that happens, but the vast majority of our grassroots football now has a qualified referee for every game, which is a testament to the work Keith has put in, but also I think it's been helped by the respect the two of them dovetail together. So yes, it does work in my opinion.
Keith, what's been the general reaction from referees? And let's talk for overall referees across the country? What do you think?
Overall, it's a massive change to refereeing, I must admit. There is a better response by clubs now, knowing that they have a responsibility to look after the referees and make sure that their players have a duty as well as the spectators. And they all have to sign a code of conduct if they want to be a respect club or in a respect league. So it's a steady progression forward. And as John said earlier, it's not going to change overnight, but 5-10 years time, we'll see, hopefully see a massive change.
So it's ongoing work, isn't it? I mean, because the Respect Programme has had this level of success, it doesn't mean to say it's finished.
Oh no, we're still in the infancy of the Respect Programme.
What sort of things would you expect referees to be developing?
If a referee goes out there and shows respect, then you know, they'll enjoy the game more, and the players will enjoy the game more if they are showing respect back to the referee and their opponents.
Okay, so refereeing skills are coming up on the line here. We're not just talking about recognition or application of law, we're talking about management.
Absolutely, yeah. Refereeing's changed over the past few years, where it's not black and white now, there's a lot of grey in there.
Keith, let's talk a little bit more about the aspects of refereeing that are changing. What are the demands?
Yeah, the skills in refereeing has totally changed since we did it, Rich. It's a lot faster than whatever there's ever been before, and referees need to understand that. They need to have more empathy in the game, understand what their role in the game actually is. It's not the be and end all to go out there, do disciplinary sanctions, but it's to go out there and just caution. If you have to do cautions, it's the cautions that everyone expects you to do, or that everyone knows it's a mandatory caution. If you're the only person in the ground to think that's a caution, should a referee then caution?
So you're talking about a referee producing surprises here then?
Absolutely, yeah. There should be no surprise in the game. Okay. A referee should just go out there, and if everyone knows that there should be something going on, then somebody should be doing it.
So you're offering a bit of advice that a referee should do what's expected of him, but make sure if everybody sees a red card, it is a red card, and he's not trying to apply alternative ideas about not applying the sanction.
Yeah. What we have found in the past, all referees are concerned about their marks, and there are referees out there, and we all know who they are, that go out referee to please a club. Now, I'm afraid to say that they don't actually please the secretaries or the managers that send their marks in. So they may think they're helping the game, but they're not helping their game.
This is Referees World.
Now, obviously, we've used the guys from the Somerset FA because that's who we're affiliated to. It's a little easier for us to get together with them. However, that doesn't mean to say that we're ruling out anybody else from any of the other FAs that may be listening. So if you would like us to get in touch, then please drop us an email through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. Hopefully you picked up quite a few interesting points from that meeting with John Pike and Keith Buller. Quite interesting about the seriousness of referees not handing in their disciplinary sheets.
Yes, it is. And I will reiterate that any referee who is guilty of not submitting disciplinary report forms, any county and every county will take the same approach as regards the consequences for the referee.
Is this something that's been tightened up now through a severe lack of it happening over the last few years? Because there are referees, and it's mentioned in there, there are referees that won't hand them in because they think they might gain marks.
It does refereeing colleagues no favours. The image of the game is tarnished from the refereeing perspective. And whilst referees may think they're gaining some brownie points from the clubs, they will soon get found out if they progress towards Supply League football, where you're trying to get to next season, Darren. They will be found out. I've got no doubts about that.
Don't forget, you can email us if you like through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. You can listen on iTunes as well. Just search for Referees World and subscribe for free. First up, let's go through some of your mentions, some of your tweets, some of your emails. As I said, you can follow us at Referees World, or you can listen online and email us through the website, which is refereesworld.co.uk. Rich?
Yeah, I've got a tweet here from Ryan Owens. Thanks, Ryan. Good to hear from you. He's asked, will we do a segment on proper cooldowns post-match? Since we've had a lot about pre-match warm-ups, could we do something about that? Yes, we will, Ryan. We're not going to do it today, but we will look at that and produce it for a future podcast.
Okay, just like to say hello to a couple of people here that are just literally following. Callum Boyd, don't know much about Callum. Mike Duffy is 16 years old. He's from Birmingham and he wants to be a pro referee, so it's nice to know you're listening. And Neil Hunnisett is from Plymouth. He's a cardiac specialist nurse and referee, a Crystal Palace fan, and has two goldfish called Terry and June.
That's a complicated life, that is. Okay, I've heard from Brendan Loosley. He says, love listening to the podcast yet again. Listen to them all so far. You'll be surprised how much I'm learning. Brendan, that's what it's all about. If we can help you, we'd like to hear from anybody.
Just one more from me then. This is from Ali in South Wales. Says, what about players wearing hearing aids? Is there anything to be concerned about here?
Yes, there is something to be concerned about, and this obviously relates to player safety. It's player safety in this particular case. If he were to get hit by the ball, that would be my concern. And without seeing the hearing aid, how it's worn or what type of hearing aid it is, I'm not an expert in that area, but I'd be very concerned to make sure that if there were an accident, you as referee are not neglectful on your duties. And player's equipment, if it's a deaf player, it has to be safe for him and also obviously for the opponent as well.
The problem is, if you feel as the referee that it's not safe for the player concerned, how do you tell a deaf player without them thinking, you know, that's a little unfair, that's prejudice?
It's not prejudice. It's actually looking after the person's interest.
Don't you run the risk, though, of stirring up a hornet's nest before the game's even kicked off?
No. Your primary concern when you're doing players' equipment check is safety. You ask players to remove the earrings or anything like that they're wearing around that area. So consequently, this also has an interest as regards player safety. So you're asking players to remove earrings, and consequently you would need to inspect the hearing aid of the player that wants to play. And I don't want to be a poo-poo here, but I just want people to remember to play safe and enjoy it. And I'm sure the guy that has to wear a hearing aid will understand if you say, I'm not happy about that and I'm not going to let you play. I know that's not the best answer, but at the end of the day, it has to be safety for all involved. Imagine if that person wearing a hearing aid gets hit in the head by the ball full on and there are repercussions from that for his health. It's not what a referee wants. So please stay safe, referees, and think safety for the player.
There you go, Ali. Hopefully that'll answer your question. Listen, that's just about wrapped it up for this episode. So thanks very much for listening. Hopefully we've explained a few things. Hopefully you've learned some stuff as well, which is the whole aim of the Referees World podcast. And if you do know a referee that doesn't actually listen or hasn't heard about us, let us know. Send him an email, because obviously we're spreading the word. We're referees ourselves and we want the best for all of us involved.
Yes, please. As many referees learning together, enjoying it together is what we're trying to do. Thanks very much, Darren.
The download is complete.